Navigate with FFA. You can join us on YouTube at Funke Felix Adejumo, on Instagram Live at FF Adejumo, on Facebook, Clubhouse, and different platforms. It's such an honor to be hosting everyone tonight. Thank you. I can see in the chat box London, Malawi, Lagos. Thank you. Thank you from everywhere. Appreciate you. thank you. Thank you so much, my African ear. Yes, I'm reading the comments. Thank you so very much, Germany. Woo! It's going to be hot tonight. Hot, hot, hot. Thank you. I just want to give you like 30 seconds. Please send the link to your friends, particularly the men. Tonight we want to speak about the man. Help! My wife is abusive. Thank you from Ghana, from the UK. Thank you, Zimbabwe, Nigeria. Appreciate you. Help! My wife is abusive. Everybody's talking about, hey, my husband is abusing me. Hey, now we want to talk about men. Thank you, Zambia. Thank you. Please just know that I'm acknowledging you. US, Nairobi, Kenya. I appreciate from around the world. I appreciate you. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Ooh, wow. Thank you. We are honored. Really honored. So let me say this again. Every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Nigerian time, we will be here. I'll be bringing different speakers. Different men and women. And we're going to be talking about different things, not just abuse. We'll talk about career, we'll talk about finance, we'll talk about life generally, we'll talk about domestic violence. We've done that for 5 years, beg your pardon, 5 days. And we're going to be talking about so many things. It's not only abuse. So please send the link. South Africa, thank you. Please share it. I'm waiting because, hey, my speaker tonight, you all know now. You all know himself and his wife. Let me not go there yet. I'm waiting for you. Maybe like 10 more seconds. Please share the link. Thank you. Thank you for joining. We appreciate you. Share, follow, and subscribe. Thank you. Thank you. I'm reading the charts. Thank you from Botswana. Thank you. Ooh, it's a big community. It's a large community, and it's from around the world. Thank you so very much for joining me tonight. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of this. It's going to be awesome. And every Tuesday, this is what we're going to be doing. Thank you. I acknowledge all of you. Thank you. Ooh. Thank you so much. 5 more seconds. Ooh, thank you, thank you, thank you. So, waiting. Thank you. Sierra Leone, I'm reading. I'm actually reading. Belgium, thank you. South Africa, Dubai, Germany, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good evening, everybody. Good evening. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you, Kenya. So right away. I have in the studio a dear servant of God. Okay. He's an author, a celebrated one, Canada, thank you. He's a relationship coach, counselor, and expert. He's a TV host. Himself and his wife are colossal blessings to our world. Fantastic couple. And I'm so honored tonight to have in the studio with me, Pastor Kingsley Okonkwo. God bless you, dear man of God.
Good evening, Mama.
Good evening, okay.
Good evening, Mama. It's such an honor to be here. She's thereby. She's sending her love. She can hear you, so she can hear you live and direct.
Good evening, Mama.
Good evening. Oh, good evening. Good evening. Thank you, Ma.
We want to appreciate you for having us here, and for all the mighty works that you still do. You just always put all of us on our toes with how you keep just breaking new grounds and keep pressing on. So we are inspired. Thank you, Ma, for what you do and for who you are to us and to the body at large. Thank you. Thank you, Ma.
Thank you, Ma.
We love you. That's a Mildred. Well done. Thank you. We love the two of you. You're such a blessing.
Thank you,
Ma. And I'm going to be hosting Pastor Mildred later.
You know, wow. In advance. Ooh. No problem, Ma.
People are a part of this from around the world, Italy, UK, America, you know, you can see in the chat box. It's really a global community. I've had this in mind for a long time, Navigate with FFA. I started it just a few episodes on YouTube, but with the events going on now, because many times when something happens, we all scream and throw temper tantrums and then we speak to America. But no, this is giving birth to a movement. It's giving birth to a movement, and I'm good. So we're grateful. So Pastor K, we've been talking about how women are abused here and there, slapped, battered, beaten. And then my DM is full. Some have been attacking me, actually. Are you not biased? Mama, why are you not speaking about what is going on? And different text messages, DM. I want to read maybe one, so I can just... please, I've left Lagos and I have abandoned my marriage. Please help me say to everyone you can reach that a bad marriage can ruin one's life. There is no point patching it up. It reduces self-esteem. This is a chat. This is a WhatsApp message. It deprives one of the very essence of life. Deprives one of peace of mind. I'm so glad I left. It climaxed when she, the pronoun now, poured chili pepper mixed with water in my eyes over an argument. I was crawling on the floor. She was telling, it's good for me. And next time, I won't dare stress her again. I grabbed her wrapper to wipe my face when she poured the stuff in my face. But she snatched it away from me, leaving me with pains and tears. She did all that in front of my children.
Wow.
It was a trauma. I'm so glad I left. And then one woman said, my husband is a pastor. He slept with two of my friends. And I decided to abuse him as a form of revenge. Another one said, my husband has not slept with me for more than three times in our 24 years of marriage. We have two children. I'm abusing him because I am in pain. So these are the kind of things. So pick up tonight, and I'm going to yield the mic to you. Women abusing men. Is it an effect? Because I don't think there is any justification for abuse. And then one man said when he went to the police station because he did not want to kill his wife. He went to the police station to report in Nigeria. Let me not talk about the states. And the policemen were laughing at him.
Yeah.
And speaking it again. Your wife, they beat you. You know. And a lot like that. So please, I yield the mic to you. That's okay.
Once more, thank you again, Mama, for putting this together and for having me. And I want to greet all the global audience and community from everywhere in the world. Thank you guys for joining. The issue of abuse, like Mama said, I think a movement has been battered, and I pray it is sustained. And in fact, for me, I would actually like for people to start the work from even before we get married. Because most times we are trying to deal with it in marriage, and anybody that is a marriage counselor knows that it's not easy to leave. You know, I know a lot of people are saying leave the marriage, but we have all been in this thing for a bit. It's not never easy to leave. It's never as easy as it sounds. And you know, even many people that are saying people should leave their marriages, many of them have stayed in abusive marriages themselves and have not left. You know, so I think we thank God the movement is being battered, and I believe that we should start paying attention to the things before the marriage. Now, to speak specifically, you know, into this situation, definitely men also get abused. And in all fairness, all of us have just focused more on women being abused, in all fairness. You know, maybe because women are generally, you know, perceived as the weaker vessels. Women, you know, are perceived as, you know, being more, a bit softer, a bit milder, a bit more in need for protection. So everybody has focused on, you know, abuse when women are on the receiving end, when women are the victims. But the truth is that there are a lot of men dealing with abusive wives. A lot of men are being abused. And Mama, like the story you shared, the reason why we don't hear it is because most men will be ashamed to talk about it. Most men are going to be ashamed to talk about it because who will you tell? Who will you tell? You know, people will laugh at you. That's number one. And number two, it's not going to be so easy for people to believe you anyway. So most men are rather going to deal with it quietly, you know, than come out right and say, I am being abused by my wife. For us as counselors, I've dealt with a lot of cases where, you know, police have gotten involved and arrested the women. And these are the women that were the abusers. And they were arrested, and they were in developed countries, you know. They were arrested and locked up, and they slept in the police cell, you know, overnight or sometimes for days, because the women were the abusers. The women were the abusers. And thank God for those kind of countries, you know, where, you know, they are not like the story you shared, Mama, of the man that told police and police were laughing at him. Those countries will take it seriously no matter the gender. You know, and these women were arrested. These women were serious abusers. And we've also heard of cases where men died from abuse. It's not just women that die from abuse. We've seen cases where a woman actually killed, you know, a man because of abuse. So, yes, abuse happens both ways. Definitely, it's a bit more from the male side. Yes, it is. But it does happen from the female side in terms of women being the attackers or the abusers. It does happen. But definitely not as much. At least physical abuse, not as much. You know, I think it's because generally men are stronger physically, so it's not common to see a woman that will physically abuse a man. But if you are looking at abuse on a broader perspective, which covers a broader spectrum of things, women also abuse emotionally. Women abuse emotionally. Women abuse in terms of accusations. False accusations, because you know a woman, if she accuses you, people will first find you guilty before they even investigate. They will find you guilty before they. We saw from the Bible days the story of Joseph. He was accused of rape in a case where he was, but nobody's gonna look into the case seriously. They just think this woman will not just lie on you, you know. But again, there are too many stories of women using that power to put men in trouble, to put men in jail. This has been, from Bible times to even recent times, to even olden times, women have used accusations, they've used emotional abuse, they've used sexual abuse, you know, withholding sex and things like that. They've used verbal abuse. That one comes a bit natural to most women because they are very prolific with their mouths. They are good with their mouths. They are good with words, you know. So abuse happens on both sides, and men are also being abused. Men are being abused. I would rather be on the bad side of a man than on the bad side of a woman. A woman is loaded. if women gather and want, you know, to bring you down, it's difficult to survive it. Women are something else. So we need to start to protect men. We need to create some form of level playing field where men can find it comfortable to report abuse, to speak up when they are being abused, because abuse has the way of spreading. Whether it's coming from the man or the woman, when abuse is going on in the home, it will always impact the children. Just like the case you mentioned where they were pouring pepe and all that, and it was in front of the kids. These things are going to affect those children. So we have to come against abuse in any shape or form. I want to sympathize with all the men that have faced abuse or are facing abuse. We want to apologize for not believing you. We want to apologize for not even making room for you to speak. Because everybody feels there are more pressing problems than talking about a man that is being beaten by his wife. They'll just feel, hey, go home and defend yourself. Go home and be a man. You know, we'll use the term be a man. Meanwhile, this guy is being abused either emotionally, it's being abused verbally. There are men that are being made to cry every night. There are men that are being made to sleep on the couch, sleep outside their house. You know, there are men that are being brought to tears, brought to tear, torn to shreds. You know, and we deal with these cases every day. There are men that are being slapped, being hit, you know, poured oil on, you know, hit with frying pan, different kinds of things because of abuse. So we really need to deal with it. We need to look at it. We need to give men a level playing field. We need to encourage men to speak up, because all abuse is bad. All abuse is bad. So we need to speak up for the men and acknowledge that men also get abused. Men definitely get abused. In our study on domestic violence, you know, I did a training on it a few years ago before all the trends started. And they said up to 1 in 5 men face abuse. It's just that who will talk about it? Who is going to go and say, hey, my wife is abused? It's not the kind of thing. Opening up is a struggle for men in the first place. How much more you want to open up about something that will be embarrassing? That my wife slapped me, or my wife kicked me out of the house, or my wife poured oil on me. It's going to be, men just don't talk about that. It's the same thing with infidelity. people give the impression that men cheat more. Anybody in family life practice knows it's not true. It's not true. All right? Women are also cheating almost as much. All right? But women talk more. Most men that have been cheated on will not find it comfortable to go and discuss that with another person. They will just handle it. All right? In fact, statistics showed that men stay more when they're cheating than women. You know, people assume that, oh, if you cheat on a man, he won't stay. That is women that stay with cheating. No, but statistics have shown that men, even though they say before the cheating that if you ever cheat on me, I'll leave, most of them do not leave. They actually stay more than women. Because if they leave, where are they going to go and say the reason why they are leaving? They cannot go and say it. So most of them stay in those marriages where their wives have cheated on them. So men stay more. So I'm just trying to say we need to balance the scales. We all need to work towards that as a community, as a society. You know, this problem is not a church problem. When the recent thing that happened, people were trying to make it a church problem. And I tried to tell them it's not a church problem, it's a society problem. It's something in the days of our parents, nobody will even raise an eyebrow with abuse. Nobody, if you say your husband beat you, it's not a discussion. It's not something to worry about. You know, there's no way you're going to report that case. Even the mothers will tell you it's normal. Our husband beat all of us. The fathers will say it's normal. Your husband has the right to beat you. That's what they will say. Your husband is your father. He can beat you. So we need to know where we are coming from and appreciate the progress. We have made progress. That we are even discussing this on air and making it an issue, a topic, is progress. Because in the olden days, this is not a discussion. It's not even a reason to leave your marriage that they beat you. It's not a reason to leave your marriage. Nobody's going to answer you. So we have made progress, and we can yet make more progress. And thank God for what you're doing, Mama. These are the discussions that we bring progress. In the one of the events I did along this line, I said, we as society, we need to even bring out better laws. In our country, the laws are not strong at all. You know, police will even laugh at you. They'll say it's a civil matter. Nobody's going to attend to you. They believe they have more serious issues than your wife is beating you or your husband is beating you. So we as a society, we need to all come out and lend our voice and, if possible, fight for better laws as regards abuse, whether it is male or it is female.
Wow. Thank you so very much, man of God. Thank you. This is so foundational. And so. I mean, thank you. So why do women abuse men?
Okay. All right, very interesting. A small fraction, from my little experience and studies, a small fraction show that some women abuse because of things that happened outside of their current relationship. So these are things that happened in their childhood. These are really things that happened maybe with their exes, or these are just issues that have to do with their emotional management. They are just not emotionally balanced. So they tend to deal with distress by being violent, you know, and being dangerous and all that. So a small fraction of them come from that perspective. But the larger portion of women that are being abused, in all fairness, they are reacting, you know, to some form of, you know, maybe emotional issue they are facing in their relationship. Now, whether they are right or wrong is different, but I'm talking about what is the cause. Most of them are reacting to how they feel because they feel they are not being treated right in their marriage. Now, sometimes they have no basis, or their wrong feeling is wrong, but I'm just saying that is where they are coming from. You know, they believe that they have not been treated right, or maybe they've been cheated on, like some of the cases we had now. You know, they believe the man has not been fair with them, has not been fair to them, and the only way they know, you know, to express their displeasure is by being abusive. So in many of the cases I have dealt with, this woman, I know, because women are very special lot. Women mirror a lot. So a woman mirrors the environment she's in. She's a very fertile ground. The kind of man she's with affects her a lot. So a woman, if she feels she's not being treated fairly, if she feels she's been cheated on, and this cheating could have happened 3 years ago, she can still react based on that 3 years after, because that's how she is. She's a deep feeler. You know, she's very past oriented. Her past, present, and future are all wrapped up in one. You know, so something could have happened 3 years ago. If it's not properly resolved, it can still bring abuse today. So a lot of times, most of them are shocked because they thought, oh, what is the issue? Most of those men can't understand why we are breaking tables or breaking television today over something that happened 3 years ago, because those issues were never properly resolved. Women are deep, and men need to know this. And that has been one of the things I've been trying to emphasize for the men over and over again. Women are deep. Even something that happened to their childhood can make her break your television today. You know, you need to understand that because her memory is incredible. You know, her past, present, and future are all linked. So, it's not obvious that, oh, she's shouting today, she's reacting today. When did the problem happen? It could be 5 years ago. It could be 5 years ago. So you must be very careful in how you deal with her, because she's a very intense emotional being. She feels over 10 or 20 times the way a man feels. So the thing that men will overlook easily, a woman will start saying, I'd rather be on the bad side of a man. Because if we should settle, for a woman, if it's not well resolved, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you know, it could come up and you'll be amazed. Because if she bottles up those feelings, you know, it could lead to, you know, an unimaginable explosion suddenly out of nowhere. So most of the time is reaction, but there's also a small fraction that is tied to emotions over the year. I tell people, most conflicts in marriages are not between husband and wife. It's between each person and their emotions. It's not between husband and wife. It's between me and my emotions. It's between how I want to manage myself. All right? So that is why it's mainly reactionary. Mainly reactionary. And most of the men, in all fairness, can't place their hands. That's why sometimes when the man shares the one-sided story of, oh, I did nothing, I'll be like, no, I need to hear from your wife. Because what the man calls nothing with women, it is something. I've had to deal with domestic violence cases that were traced to wedding nights. And these are people that have been married for 10 years. And the issue that is causing problem now is traced to wedding nights. And the man can't understand why we are talking about wedding nights. And I said, that's how a woman's mind works. So you have to make up for that wedding night, though, because that issue, and you have never agreed. I have 4 D's. I train men in talking to women. There are 4 D's. I said, number one, don't dismiss how she feels. Your job is that you can't tell somebody she's not feeling what she's feeling. So no, firstly, don't dismiss. Second, don't disagree. Don't disagree. All right? It's not, most time when a woman is talking, she's not talking based on facts. She's talking based on feelings. All right? So if a man and a woman are arguing, nobody will ever win, because they are not even on the same spots. They're not even in the same stadium. So you can never win. So don't disagree. Number three, don't debate. All right? Don't debate. When a woman is talking to you, she doesn't want debate. Most times the man is debating with her, and the man will say, we've talked about it. No, if we debated for 2 hours, in a world of women, that's not counted as talking. We have not talked. We debated. It's zero. We'll have a debate. We'll continue to debate on that day. But if you can listen to her, acknowledge her, validate her for 2 hours of her talking, then you have talked. But if you are debating, she'll say this one, you debate. She says this one, you... She's not counting that as that we have talked about this issue. So there are 4 D's like that. So don't dismiss, don't debate, don't defend. Don't disagree. You need to allow her to vent. You need to allow her to process. I need to know her apology language and make it up to her. So most times, but having said that, there is no excuse still for abuse. Because like I said, the real conflict is within you and your emotions. And the Bible teaches that everywhere. That if they slap you on the next cheek, they're just trying to say, look, be in control of your own reaction. Be in control of your own behavior. You can't blame somebody for any action you take. You can't blame somebody for it. So the concept is that I believe a small fraction is just emotional, a larger fraction is reactionary, and that's what causes abuse from the women folk.
Wow. I should be calling you professor. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Teach that women are multipliers.
Yes.
We have a womb. So yes. You deposit sperm, and then we give you babies.
Mm.
You give us an attic, and we turn it to a home.
Mm.
You give love, and you become an envy of everybody.
Give
a woman frustration, she will show you that it's a bee. B-E-E. Every woman is a bee.
Mm.
Remember Sarah? Did you say she was so fantastic that she even called her husband Lord?
Yeah.
When she showed the other side, because a bee produces honey, but at the same time, a bee
thing.
So many men are wondering, why is my wife abusive? verbally, sexually, well, physically, whatever. So we're trying to dig tonight that can it be reactive? Is there something you have pushed under the carpet by dismissing, by disagreeing, by debating, and by defending? And you need to talk. Otherwise, this will continue to be perpetuated. It will. And a lot of the questions I got came and referring to adultery. So, Pastor K, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yes, sir.
Because I asked, what are the causes? Why do women abuse men? And a lot of them sent whatever to me. He slept with my sister, he slept with my household, he slept with two people in church, he's not sleeping with me. I have a bunch here. In fact, when I was reading, I was shedding tears. How can a man do this? And then the man will say, but I apologized. I apologized. And you're a Christian. And it happened 3 years ago. So what are we talking about? I'm sorry, but let's look at it. Why do men cheat? Because I got this a lot. And that now makes women to start abusing them, which is wrong. So can we just touch on that, please?
The issue of infidelity has been a lifelong issue, and I've tried to paint the picture. Men and women are equal. We just have different strengths and different weaknesses, and somehow women also have weaknesses. It's just that a woman's weakness looks good because her weakness is usually tied to love. A woman's weakness is love based. So if you see all the problem women enter in their life, you hear, "I love him." So it's a good thing. Nobody can say, "Ah, it's not good to love." The only thing we need to guide women is how to love the right person. But all their weakness is tied to love. "Oh, I love him. He's beating me, oh, I love him. He's eating my money, oh, I love him." It's a weakness. But you see, it's perceived as not being, you know, a bad thing. Most men, their weakness is tied to sexuality. That's where men need management. Women need management emotionally in terms of who they love. Because this is why, you know, most times we wonder why would a woman stay in an abusive marriage? It's because emotionally she feels attached to that situation. She doesn't want to leave. Right? Women deal with attachment. That's where their issue is. So they'll be in a very bad relationship. Women are intelligent. Women have no issue with their intelligence. In fact, women are more intelligent than men. That's, we can prove that. Women are sound. Where they have challenge is emotional. So this man is beating you. Why are you still there? This man is doing this. Why are you still there? I love him. Most women that have married bad situation, most, they saw the signs. They can't say they didn't see. They saw the signs. But they just feel that managing their emotions is tougher for them. It's the same way for men. Managing their sexuality has to be deliberate. Managing sexuality has to be deliberate. And men need to be made aware of this on time. The same way women need to be made aware of managing their emotions. It just needs to happen. So if you see most women that have serious issues, is emotional. They are marrying somebody that is stressing them. These are women that are high achievers. You know, they are big women in their business, big women everywhere. They are stuck with one man. You know, it happened to Abigail. They said Abigail was a very smart woman, a pretty woman, but he married a fool. You wonder how on earth is somebody as smart as Abigail marrying a fool? That's a woman's biggest challenge. It's a woman's biggest challenge. She can be very smart, very beautiful, very everything, but emotionally, managing her emotions. Because that emotion flows like a river. Men don't understand it. It is deep. It is heavy. It's difficult to manage. It takes training. It takes discipline for a woman to manage her emotions. It takes discipline. It takes a lot of stress. So most times, some of these women too that cheat, this is why they fall in love with men they should not fall in love with. Maybe they are in love with a married man. He's emotional. But for the man, on the other hand, it is sexual. He needs to manage his sexuality. Because his own sexual passions too is flowing like a river. He also needs to manage it. So men and women cheat. They just cheat for different reasons. All right. Before a woman will really cheat, you will find out that there must be some emotional love involved. Women are not just going about. This is why prostitution is largely a male-based business. Because it's more sexual in nature. How women cheat more is that they are not being satisfied emotionally at home. They need somebody that they will talk to. It starts from an emotional affair before it becomes sexual. Men, on the other hand, it starts from a sexual affair before it becomes emotional. That's how the men's own start. So we all have weaknesses. That's the truth. Men and women have weaknesses. Somebody's strength on this side is somebody's weakness on the other side. And this is why marriage makes it beautiful. That's why two becomes one. We complement each other. So why do men cheat? There are so many reasons. Some is that they've not been able to manage their sexuality. Some is that they are greedy. They believe they can have it all. They believe they can have more than one woman, you know, and a whole lot of other reasons. So it happens. Men do cheat. But I feel with good management, with good teaching, with good discipline, you know, men can learn not to cheat. We need to do more in warning men in that regard, that this is a major pitfall that you must look out for. You are going to be tempted in this light, you know. Because a man's sexuality is not tied to emotion. So that's why women always wonder, women always tell me things like, can you even imagine the woman he cheated with? Look at how she looks. She's not even fine. You know, she's not even... Men are not looking for all that. No, most men don't cheat upwards. They cheat down. They cheat downwards. They don't cheat upwards. They are not trying to do the work they used to get their wife all over again. That's not what they are trying to do. It's just a sexual thing. So nobody cheats. Your spare tire can be better than your original tire. Nobody drives like that. You put your back tire spare. That's how it works. So it always confuses women. Say, can I sleep with house girl? No, it's a sexual thing. A man can sleep with somebody he has never met before, somebody he doesn't know, somebody he doesn't even plan to meet again. So it's purely a sexual thing. So on the other hand, women don't understand it. Women are always wondering, so why can't you control yourself? It's the same way women struggle to control their emotions. That's how men struggle to control their sexuality. It's a big deal for both genders. The same way we say, why can't women control their emotions? The same way women too say, why can't men control their sexuality? At the end of the day, self-control is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. God knows why he gave both genders that. After the fall of man, our weaknesses became apparent. The knowledge of good and evil, that's what it means. It means everybody will have both good and evil. Before that time, Adam didn't have a knowledge of evil. Adam didn't have any experience of evil. There was no... Adam never had one negative thought. It wasn't in existence. But after he ate that fruit, after he entered that realm, man will always have the option of good and evil. And it will take a lot of discipline, a lot of teaching, a lot of understanding for him to always choose good. And that is where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's why it's called the Holy Spirit. One of his main jobs in our life is to help us constantly choose good.
Oh my God. I don't know, Pastor K, if you can read the comments. They are loaded. Somebody said, Pastor K, you are loaded. You truly understand both men and women. And I like what you just said. It's so liberating. So many people, they are putting it there. That men, most of the time, they cheat downwards. Because I heard of a professor, University of Ibadan, that had a good wife, a beautiful marriage, a beautiful wife. And they went to sleep with one woman selling, you know, mama poops. For the first time, I understood just by this explanation.
Yes.
Men cheat downwards. Okay, so let me back to the topic tonight. Someone called me from South Africa and said, my wife is very abusive. She talks me down. She disgraces me. She says so many things, you know, and all that. So if your wife is abusive as a married man, what should you do?
Okay, that's a beautiful question. So as a counselor and as a coach, one of the things we do or we are trained to do is not to deal with the symptoms, but to always do a root cause analysis, to always go to the root. So if somebody is raising their voice, for instance, our job is not to tell the person, stop raising your voice. Our job is to ask, why are you raising your voice? People raise their voice when they don't feel heard. That's why they are raising their voice. So if somebody is nagging, repeating something over and over again, we don't just tell them, oh, stop nagging, your husband doesn't like it. No. People nag when they feel you didn't hear the first time. So we need to go to the root of the problem. If your spouse is not feeling heard, that's when they raise their voice. So in this case, if your wife is abusing you, we need to ask why. We can't just tell her, stop abusing. It doesn't work that way. We need to get to the root of it. If, for instance, you are living or doing certain things that is always getting her frustrated, then she would never stop abusing you as long as you're doing those things. So sometimes our job self as a counselor is not even to give advice, is to just mediate and allow husband and wife to talk. Because on their own, they can't carry out a conversation. There will always be interruptions. But sometimes we just sit down, a wife talks for 2 hours. That's all we do. Because she said at home, they won't talk like this. You won't listen. So we will sit down in the session. She will talk for 2 hours. Sometimes she's not even done. But the man has no choice at that time to listen. So if your wife is abusing you, our first point of call is why? Why is she abusing you? Is it something you are doing today? Is it something you're doing now? Is it something you've done in the past that you have not addressed? You have not properly apologized, or it hasn't been properly, you know, handled? Because for a woman, I explain to men, the way a woman's mind works, everything in a woman's mind goes into one box. It's all one box. Men's mind are divided into little two boxes. So work, sports, politics, family, everything is in different boxes. So he can detach from everything and face one thing. For a woman, it's not so. Their whole mind is one box. And so every time she goes to that box, if she's been going there for something good, she will still see the bad things that you have done. They are all in the same box. She will encounter it. And the sad thing about that box is rotating. So even if she's not even looking for anything in that box, sometimes the bad thing will rotate to the front because they are all rotating. The way the earth is rotating, that's how the issues in their mind are rotating. So for no reason, she can remember something you did 10 years ago, even though you are a good boy today. Her mind is rotating. So you need to know the pressure she's dealing with as a woman. All right? So if it comes up from nowhere, you need to learn how to communicate with her. So have you properly dealt with the issue? Sometimes, even when you have properly dealt with the issue, it will come up. And you must know how to react. When those issues come up, if you know that, oh, this is just like her monthly period, her monthly cycle, it has just come up. It's a cycle, it will pass. It's for a few hours. During that period, don't defend. Don't say, ah, she moved there to think. Allow her to vent. Talking about it will let it pass quickly. So let her talk. Hug her. Apologize again. Sometimes that's what she wants to hear. She wants to reassure. Don't debate. Don't defend. The woman is not looking for court of law. She wants to vent. Everything that happens in a woman's life activates her vocal parts. Her vocal nerves. That's all. So if she's happy, she talks. If she's sad, she talks. If she doesn't even know how she feels, she must talk. So you as a man must be a good listener. You must learn reassurance. Oh, saying I'm sorry, saying you know I love you, saying I told you it won't happen again. Don't worry. You know, reassure. Just use reassurance. That's what she wants. Don't debate. Don't defend. Don't dismiss. All right? So if you understand those things, we need to get to why. Is it something in the past? Is it something in the present? Is it something from her childhood? Sometimes it's not even you at all. It has nothing to do with you. She's fighting her ex in you. She's fighting her father that left in you. She's fighting abandonment. She's fighting many things. You need to understand your wife. You understand she's a deep being, way deeper than you. That's why what the Bible says is that husbands treat your wife according to knowledge. You can't marry a woman with instincts. You can only marry a woman with knowledge. You need knowledge. You must understand how a woman functions. A woman is hardly just wanting to be bad for no reason. Hardly. There are just few women that are bad for no reason. Most times when a woman is bad, something is triggering it. So you can't love a woman by instinct. You must love her by knowledge. Understanding that, oh, okay, is this something in her past? How was her father, relationship with her father? If she's dealing with abandonment, she was abandoned by her dad, she will always be scared you will abandon her. And she will keep reacting to you. I know one day you will leave. I know what. She's just reacting. So assurances and finding out what the root cause is. Why are you reacting? What's happening? All right? God's answer to everything. Because I'm going to come now to what should you do. God's, after you find the cause, God's answer to everything is love. There's one medicine they sell in buses in Lagos. I don't know if they sell it in other parts of Nigeria, but there's a medicine they sell in buses in Lagos. Those medicine cure everything. And if they have no name, they will just bring the capsule, usually red, in a plain paper bag, plain nylon bag, plastic bag. And they will say, this medicine, it cures high blood pressure. It cures diarrhea, it cures insomnia, one tablet. So God has his own too. God's answer to every problem is love. Interestingly, God's answer to every problem is not prayer. I know we think it's prayer, but the Bible doesn't state that. It's love. In fact, God is more a God of principle than a God of prayer. People don't understand that. He's more a God of principle. You can't run a large world like this on people just making their free requests. It doesn't work like that. If you're going to run a 6 billion, 7 billion, 8 billion man world, you will run it by principles. That's the way he runs. So he's first the God of principles. Genesis 1 and 2, there was no prayer. It was principles. If you plant the seed, it will grow. Not that you bring and pray for mango. He didn't say pray for mango. He said plant mango seed. You will get mango fruit. He started with principles. All right. We only use prayer to reinforce when something is challenging the principles from working. All right. So God gave principles for conflict in marriage. Even though we tell people to pray because prayer is good, yes, prayer can strengthen you and help the situation. But God's first reaction to conflict in a marriage is principle. So in 1 Peter 3, God cleared the air there. He said, wives, when you're married to a man that is not obeying the word, either he's not saved or he's born again but he's not living by the word, they said, what you should do that time is you, by your behavior, by your good conversation, you win his heart back. God didn't say pray. He said, love him. All right? Give him love. Teach him to love. Show him to love. It sounds hard, but that's God's prescription. He said, if your husband is not behaving well, you, by your own behavior, still respect him. Give him the most important need of his life, which is respect. He said, still respect him. That's what the Bible says. That if your husband is not acting right, respect him. In spite of him not acting right. So that's the faster way to opening his heart. And that's the way God does for us too. When we are misbehaving, he still loves us. God's cure for everything is love. For God to love the world. When the world was running mad, God did not say pray for them. He first loved them. God will love you. Even when you're a Christian and you're misbehaving, you find that that's the period God even blesses you more. His reaction to you immediately is not punish you. No, it's first love. God uses love for all problems. It's love he uses. Then, many times people didn't read the chapter down. So I've counseled many couples and they'll tell me that, our counselor told us that if the husband is not behaving well, the wife should still respect like Sarah. So I asked the man, because it was the man saying this, I asked the man, so what should the husband do when the wife is not behaving well? He was looking at me. I said, you listen for her own. You didn't listen for your own. I said, there's also something they said the man should do when his wife is not behaving well. And they're all in 1 Peter 3. They said, if the wife too is not behaving well, they said, deal with her according to knowledge as the weaker vessel. Alright. In fact, one translation says, deal with her as weak, as a vessel that doesn't have the advantages that you have. So she doesn't have the advantages that you have. What are some of the advantages that you have? You as a man, you can detach. You as a man, you don't have the surge of emotions like she has. You're right. She is an emotional being by nature. And that's not a bad thing, just the way she is. Her roles and functions demand that she has a higher dose of emotions. You can't be carrying children for 9 months and not have a dose of it. If it was men that was carrying babies, every family will have one child. In fact, they will be stealing children. They will even bother to have because the stress of carrying a child for 9 months. No man is going to do that. you need emotional capacity to carry a child for 9 months. Your nose will grow big, your feet will get swollen, your appetite will scatter, your shape will go. It takes emotional stress to do it all over again after you have the first one and do it again and again and again and stay attached to those babies. If it's for men, men can detach from children very easily. In fact, men don't see children as, you know, something to be excited about. They see it as a liability. So most of the time when young people get pregnant, men run. They run away and leave the baby for the woman. No, men are not attached to children. All right, so she needed emotional capacity for her roles. So there's a surge of emotion. So they said, you as a man, you must deal with her. When your wife is reacting, is misbehaving, is shouting, they said, deal with her with knowledge as a weaker vessel. She's not a weaker person. All right, she's a weaker vessel. All right, you are probably stronger than her physically. All right, the average man is going to be stronger than the average woman. Now, I know they are strong women, but averagely. Alright, most men are physically, not emotionally, not intelligence, but physically stronger than a woman, and there's a purpose. So, number one, deal with her with knowledge. And when you deal with her with knowledge, if you look at the verses after 1 Peter 3, 7, it says, don't return railing for railing. It says, don't return shouting for shouting. Don't return abusive words for abusive words. So it's there. You see, most men don't read down. That man I was counseling with, he was able to tell me what their counselor told them. He said, the counselor told them that if your husband is misbehaving, you as a wife, like Sarah, still respect him, call him Lord. I said, thank you, sir. What of what men should do when their wives are being misbehaving? Nobody wants to know that. It's also in the same chapter. He said, deal with her with knowledge. Be understanding of her nature. Be understanding of the challenges she's facing. Don't return, you know, railing for railing. If she's shouting at you, don't shout back. So that's when you should give love instead of hate. That's when you should give, you know, a compliment instead of complain. All right? That's when you should be mild instead of being hot the way she's hot. So that's what you should do. So God's principle for dealing with conflict is return evil with good. A soft answer. Turn it away rough. Those are the principles that it governs both male and female.
Oh my God, you have shattered on the table. There's no table again. You just shattered everything. I need to bring you back to what this person said, Pastor K. She said, if a man is wicked and you not just told us that we should love, is that Osinachi did, but was killed as a reward?
Okay.
Now, nobody's allowed to be rude here, so I decided to just pick that up. Even though you have balanced it with what the man should do, but maybe the person came later. So please, can you just chip in a word there?
Oh, beautiful.
And does this mean I should remain in an abusive place? So just, I don't want to be interrupting you.
Yes.
So please link it with that. When should I leave? When is it enough?
Oh, definitely. When you are being abused, it's a matter of life and death. So that's not really what we are. That's not what I'm talking about in that context. If you are being, you know, sometimes people want to suspend their own minds. God gave you a mind for a reason. All right. If I'm holding electricity and it's shocking me, am I going to be asking that? Oh, should I leave it or should I not leave it? No. I think that's it's a simple issue. If your life is at risk, if somebody is physically assaulting you, then your life is at risk. You need to know that. So definitely, a separation is needed. All right? But what you need to learn is that separation doesn't mean you are at war. You see, people think that, oh, it's either war or peace. No. There is negotiation. Nobody wins in a war. A war is not as cheap as people paint it. I saw a post recently, today or yesterday, that Ukraine needs like $7 billion a month to survive. $7 billion a month. Where are they going to get that kind of money? That's what happens in a war. A war is not cheap. A war is not cheap. Nobody wins in a war. Nobody wins in a war. So, the point the Bible is trying to say is to avoid conflict and all that. But if you are being assaulted, oh, of course you cannot stay in physically abusive. But you can still be a loving person. God never wants evil to corrupt you. Instead, he wants your good to change evil. But if you have been abused, oh, definitely. The covenant of life is superior to the covenant of marriage. You must first be alive to marry now. Everybody knows that. So if you can find a way to get help, definitely. And I know many people have addressed these things, you know, largely, all the other sessions that people have come. So seek help, definitely. Have a plan. Because sometimes people just say, leave. We have dealt with cases where people can't just leave without a plan. Without where are you living to? Many people have nowhere to go. Many people have nowhere to go. So I've seen cases where somebody was abused, she left. 2 weeks after, she's the one calling me to call her husband. She wants to go back to try and settle them. Because nowhere to go. She can't handle the bills. She left with 2 kids. She can't pay their bills. And the man knows. So the man was just waiting that you will come back. Where do you want to go? She rented the house. But after 1 or 2 months, she can't continue. She can't. She has to call me to try and get her back. And I refuse. But there have been cases, Mama, where one of my associate pastors was even arrested by police because we had to go and pull out somebody being abused. They went to police and said we kidnapped the lady. And Nigerian police, you know, they don't follow any rule of law. They first arrested the pastor. People don't know all the things that go on in abusive cases. It's deeper than just leave. No. It's never as easy. If there's no clear plan to leave, that person will return back into abuse. So the first thing when you're going through abuse is a pumping of the person's self-esteem. The person has to be at the emotional place and the mental place to make that decision. If they are not there, they will return. I counsel people every day. I see people that are saying, oh, Pastor, let me pray. I like this girl. She doesn't like me, but I still want to marry her. That's what you're already... A candidate for abuse. I ask them, why do you want to stay with someone that doesn't want to stay with you? Is it that you think you don't deserve to be loved? Is it that you think you don't deserve to be appreciated? Why do you want someone that doesn't want you? You see, love must be mutual. If you're already seeing yourself as an inferior candidate, like you need another person, and that person doesn't want you, there's already a problem. In the plane, I and my wife flew to, because we're presently in Dubai, the plane we flew, there's something covering the two seats. So for us to bring the blinder down, she has to press her own down button and I have to press my own at the same time. If only me press my own down, it's not going to go down. Because I have to make sure both of you are willing to bring down this blind. That's how marriage is. My love can't sustain the marriage. We both need to love each other. So why do people put themselves in the position? The first thing is a self-esteem issue. They will see themselves as somebody that can take a beating. When you put yourself, there are some things you don't fall below. There are some things, there's a basic level of life that a normal human being doesn't fall below. A basic level of life. So if somebody's offering you that level of life, it's your prerogative, it's your right to say, I am more than this, I can't take this. And when you see a human being treated badly and they're taking it, your first point of call is not telling them to leave. It's to go into their mind and get their mind to change. When their mind changes, you won't tell them to leave. They will know that I can't take this anymore. But if you just tell them leave, they won't own that decision. They will come back up. I had a case where somebody, a sister was living with a man. They are not even married, just living with a man. The man impregnated her. The man beat her up every time. The brother was chatting with her and said, I'll come and take you out of there. They both agreed the day he will come and pick her. That day came, she switched off her phone. Because she doesn't want to leave. They are beating her. They are beating her with pregnancy. It's her brother. She switched off her phone on the day of escape because she doesn't want to go. The problem is first in the mind. If you don't deal with what's going on in the mind, that person will come back there. So, of course, you have to leave. So, if you're even asking whether you should leave or not, we need to talk to you about how that is not normal for another adult to beat another adult. It's not, so, we need to get into your mind. Why do you even think it's acceptable? Why are you even thinking that it's acceptable for me to sit down, for a man to beat me? There's something going on in your own mind. When we work on that, then we can start deciding whether you should leave or not. So definitely, of course, you have to leave.
Jesus. Oh my God, look at time now. That's okay, you are coming back to 98 with SFA. I'd like you to please, because this person has been just putting that there. How do you deal with a man that is always angry? This is for men now. Why are women? And then you need to speak about the issue of money. I know it will take 1 hour. I'll bring you back, you know, later on that. But I just want you to hint on that because money causes problems in a lot of marriages. And then, who is talking to the men? We have a lot of people here tonight. If I take the statistics, I don't know whether there are more men than women. Who is talking to the men? If we stop women's conferences now, we have done enough as women leaders.
Yes. Stop
it. Love them. Yes. Dress well. Cook their food.
Yes.
Kneel down. Change your sex life. In fact, they have called me all sorts of names that I'm just loading the women. And honestly, who is talking to the men? What are we going to do? So I have put three things together now. How do you deal with a man that is always angry? And then please hint on money. The role of money and abuse, and then who is talking to the man?
Okay, I'll try and fix that into the short time we have. How do you deal with a man that is angry? Well, a lot of times when people have excessive anger, it has nothing to do with you. It's their own emotional issue. Like I mentioned earlier, on most conflict in marriage, it's not even between husband and wife. It's between the husband and his emotions, the wife and his emotions. So he needs to take responsibility that he has anger issues. Sometimes it takes you standing up to him. You know, in terms of saying, no, we have to draw the line here. You have to do something about this anger. So that's the first thing. Most times, it's his own issue. He has anger issues. Number two, are you in any way contributing to this issue? So you have to be sure. All right? Even though we are totally against domestic violence, however, I also try to talk to the victims of domestic violence to be sure that they are not in any way looking for or contributing to the violence or abuse going on in the marriage. All right. If you just tell a man, for instance, good morning, and he slaps you, that one is bipolar. That one has problems. It's not even, you shouldn't even be in that environment. Your life's at risk. But if it's that, you guys are always arguing, you're always raising your voice, you two, you jack your shirt, you block the door, you're not going anywhere, I would try to tell you that please avoid things that will lead to physical altercation. Avoid for your own safety. Not because it's right that he should hurt you, but I'm saying if you can avoid physical abuse, then let's avoid it. So make, those are the two things. Number one is his character issue he has to deal with. There's nothing you can do for him if he's not willing to take responsibility. And number two, if there's any way you're contributing to this anger that you can control, please control it. Avoid unnecessary drama. But if your man is just getting angry for nothing and beating you, attacking you for nothing, that's likely bipolar or other mental issues. You can't put yourself at harm's way like that. So please note that. Second question about money. Interestingly, Mama, we just put a video on my page on money mindsets in marriage. It's a big issue. And this issue should be resolved even before marriage. Like I said, we are trying to solve problems inside marriage. It's hard. It's better we deal with the money issues. And this is why we tell people, please do proper counseling. Get coaches. All right? It's okay to pay for counseling. Get coaches so that they will do proper assessments for you both. They will find out your money habits, your money behaviors, things like that. So that you will be able to talk about money issues. Money is always a sensitive issue. And it's not something we can dissect here. All right? It starts from your childhood, how you saw your parents deal with money. There are cases we have to deal with to find out this man's behavior is tied to how he saw his father spend money. So we have to correct that mindset first. Because there's no way every time he makes money, he behaves exactly like his dad. And we try to trace why. To find out it's from how he saw his dad behave, spend money. So you need to go through proper counseling and discuss how money should be handled. You know, it's a long story. I don't want to go into that. Then who is talking to the men? In all fairness, we're all trying to do more for men. We've discovered that the gap is there. And we're all trying to do more for men. Now, the issue, Mama, like you said, women are good with listening to conferences. Women are good. If you do marriage conference or even women conference, women come. Even when I, as a man, do a woman's conference, it's always jammed. I have thousands and thousands of women in the hall. And my wife, too, does one, too, for women. It's always jammed. So women generally, women are good with what they call sit still while I instill. All right? Women are good with what they call sit still while I instill. This means women are good with hearing, sitting down hearing. Men, on the other hand, men don't learn much from their ears. Men learn from their eyes. So we call men's own vibe while I imbibe. Vibe while I imbibe. So men need to see a positive role model to catch it. They learn more with their eyes, not with their ears. Men are not good with sitting down and listening. That's not a man's thing. So you'll find less and less men in conferences where they just sit. And men like activity, like to do. So they like to see people do. All right. So the challenge we can do is that let's raise more men that would model, you know, what real masculinity is. That's why I post. Some people think when I post me and my wife hugging, kissing, they think I'm just trying to show off. No. If I tell you the testimonies I get from those videos, I'm intentional. Because men don't need a lecture. Men need a picture. Men don't need a lecture. Men need a picture. Men have no patience to hear the whole lecture. No patience for that. But a picture will stick to them. This is why if a man is beating his wife and his sons are there, those guys have a high chance of being wife beaters. Men don't need a lecture. They need a picture. So when I post me doing surprises to my wife, when I share those stories, when I post those things, I have testimonies from those things. People say, oh, my husband did exactly the same thing. Because that's how men learn, by seeing other male objects, other male figures, you know, doing it. So men are vibe while I imbibe, women are sit still while I instill. So we teach men by showing them, but we're also doing men conferences. We've been doing men conferences. I plan to start a male podcast. But you see, getting men to also listen, doing the program is one thing. Getting them to learn. Or to come and learn is another thing. But we are getting there. We are, now that we've noticed the gap, we are being more and more intentional. The average man has been taught that the only thing he needs to provide is money. I still put a post like that on my Instagram today. Most men are taught that what they should provide is just money. And I've told the men that there are seven things every man should provide. Money is just one of them. So most men are doing 1/7. In any school, that is fail. In any school, that is fail. So there are seven things every man should provide. 9 out of the 10 richest men in the world are divorced. These are multi-billionaires in dollars. So if money was everything, they would have good marriages now. But they are divorced. 9 out of 10 of the richest men in the world. So this shows that money is not everything. And men also need to learn that there are many things a man can do for a woman that a woman can't do for herself. Money is not one of it. Most women today can get money for themselves. So if that's what that's the only thing you want to go and bring to the marriage, you want to make money for her. Most women, most bank MDs are women. Most people running the world are women. So The money is the cheapest thing you should do for a woman because she can do that for her. There are many other things you can do for her that she can't do for herself. And I have a book coming out on that. I have a YouTube video on that. 7 things men should provide. There are 7 of them. Most men are just doing 1. This is why they are always dumbfounded. They are wondering why women are not happy. Because a woman is working like you. The olden days man was going to work. Woman was not even educated. So when he comes back with his 1 tube of yam or 1 bushmeat, the wife will give him grand welcome at the door. Today, you go out, you bring 500K. The woman is going out bringing 600K. She's not going to give you grand welcome. She's wondering why you can't help her with the kids. You understand? So you need to know that there are things you can provide aside money. And we don't have time to go into that, but there's nowhere in the Bible God said the man should be sole provider of finances. There's nowhere in the Bible. All right? We always mix it up in 1 Timothy 5, but we don't have time to go into that today. But there are many things a man can bring, and if more men can learn it. And this is also why some men don't marry women that they feel are richer than them. They feel like, I can't do anything. No, there are many things you can bring that she can't bring. There are 6 other things that are not financially related that you can bring that will make a woman respect you. All right.
Hey, Jesus. Please show Pastor K some love. I know you're already doing it. They say so many things about you. This man is this, this man is that. God, you are such a blessing. I won't let you go yet. But definitely, I'm going to bring you back. I know you should be sleeping. But please, one word to pastors. Some pastors are abusive. I'm ashamed to say something. I don't even want to say it here. Can you rape? As a pastor, can you rape someone in your office? And then you're telling the person you're going to ordain the person to pacify? Are you really born again? Do you know God? I'm not being judgmental, but you know. And this is the reason why some pastors will say, just stay there and be praying and continue to submit, because they are also abusive.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. But please say one word before we go tonight. And one word on stigmatization. I'm sorry, people, we can't answer all these questions. This man has done us well. Such a great man.
Yes, pa.
He needs to go stay. So say something that are abusive. A pastor that tell people to stay in abusive relationship. And then one word about stigmatization, man of God.
Mama, the issue with the pastors is that they too have not seen any positive picture. They have not learned. The same way, it's a male gap. So, as long as the pastor too is male, he's going to face those gaps that, you know, other males are facing. He doesn't understand women. Some of the worst advice, maritally, I've heard about comes from pastors. Some of the worst advice. Because they too don't know better. So, just because you're a pastor doesn't mean... See, I don't know how to explain, but just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you know marriage. It doesn't work like that. You can teach financial prosperity and not be rich. You can be broke. This way you can teach marriage from the Bible. The teaching and the doing are 2 different faculties. Anybody can teach. Anybody can teach. But not everybody can do. So you need anointing to teach and anointing to do. Most pastors have not, you know, yielded themselves to doing. You must learn to do. Every pastor also needs a male figure that has marriage rights. I tell people all the time that one of the first things that I did when I started a relationship with my wife was to talk to my pastor and my mentors. I took her to Reverend Sam Ademi, Reverend Victor Ademi, and Pastor Abba to do my pastor. I said, these are my pastors and my mentors. Any day my head is touching, any day you can't get across to me, report me to these people. That's the first thing. We were never married. We were just dating. So as a pastor, I'm accountable. And even as I've been married for about 17 or so years now, in the course of those 17 years, there are times I've had to tell my wife, you are free to call my pastor to report me or to make a complaint. It's part of the things I'm talking about, the 7 things men can provide. You need to provide that accountability. You are the head, doesn't mean authority, it means responsibility. You must, for a woman to be comfortable with your leadership, she must know that that leadership also has control. So feel free to give her the right to report you. So I'm a marriage coach. I've done this for about 25 years. But I still give my wife freedom to talk to my pastor if I'm not behaving well. And there are a few times I've had to be called to order because I'm a human being too. So I can't always see. Nobody's always right. Anybody that's telling you that is just joking. Nobody's always right. We all have blind spots and we all need coaches. The best players in the world still have coaches. Ronaldo still has a coach. Lionel Messi still has a coach. Roger Federer still has a coach. And these are the best guys in their game. So a coach doesn't mean you are weak. A coach is part of how you become good. So those pastors too need coaches. They need to go for counseling courses. They need to even first help their own marriage. So they even need coaches for their marriage. Because as a pastor, because your marriage will affect thousands of people's marriages. And the worst advice I've heard sometimes comes from pastors. So pastors need to go and settle down and learn marriage, like every other person. Learn relationship, learn how it works, and have marriage mentors, marriage coaches to get it right too in marriage. So that's what I advise. They are not above the law. They will face the same challenges that their members will face. But their members have pastors, and the pastor doesn't have pastor. So the pastor is too exposed not having a pastor. He too needs protection. He too needs counsel. He too needs coaches to do it right. So that's it. Then in terms of stigmatization, all of us need to do better. Most of us, we make people feel bad when they get divorced. We make people feel bad when they leave their marriages. You know, we need to let people know that they have, you know, a right to save their lives. We need to let people know, you know, that even though God hates divorce, God also hates murder. You know, God hates, abuse and all those other things. So we need to balance our approach to a lot of things. We need to let people have a right to speak up, whether male or female. You know, if a man is being abused, don't make him feel little, just like those policemen did. You know, listen out. Listen to him. Most time, nobody even pays attention to him. Nobody listens to him. Abuse care. They say, leave here. In fact, a lot of my clients that I counseled with, they said they had to do recording of the abuse. If not, their cases would have been taken seriously. So they have to record unknowingly to the wife while she was abusing them. That's the way they listened. Because the wife were the ones that even called police. It was the woman that called the police and did the accusation thing. But thank God the man had video. So the police now picked up the wife instead of picking up the man, even though it was the wife that called police. So, you know, we need to listen to that, to men. We need to understand that men too, you know, have been accused, have been abused. All right. We need to give them that right. And I think with that, all of us should contribute. It's not a church issue. What happened to the lady that passed on is not a church issue, it's a culture issue. So all of us need to contribute and make this world a better place.
Oh my God. God bless you and bless you and bless you and bless your wife and bless your children and bless the works of your hands. You are a colossal blessed man of God. We are so grateful.
It's an honor.
And people have, they are really showing you love, 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 you know, and all that on the chat.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much. We're grateful to God for you and for Pastor Mildred. Just before we say goodnight and just before I release Pastor K to leave, I have a home. It is called Another Chance Home. I believe God is not a God of the second chance. He's the God of another chance.
Not that chance. Hallelujah.
That's why. And this movement, this revolution is Another Chance Initiative. So if you know anyone that's in an abusive relationship or you are in an abusive relationship, please reach out to us. Send a mail to anotherchance@funkefelixadejumo.org. And then we'll pick it up from here. My home is here in Akure, Ondo State, Nigeria. That's one. Or you send, a text or you call +234 818 029 9999. Now, from 12 countries of the world, we have volunteers, psychiatrists, professional counselors, therapists, social workers, and all that. I've had a Zoom meeting with them, and they are ready to help you. So anywhere you are in the world, and you need help, all you need to do is send a mail to anotherchance@funkefelixadejumo.org. And we will reach out to you within 4 or 5 hours. We will reach out to you. And we'll connect you to someone that can help you. Okay, someone is asking for the account of my orphanage. Yes, I have an orphanage too. Sometimes we take the children from these people. This is what I've been doing for years. Yeah. I will put them in the orphanage while we try to see, can there be reconciliation? Like I said in the last session, every marriage that we break will go through 7 stages. Different stages, divorce. Yeah. There is the 6th stage, which is separation. From separation stage, you can decide to go to reconciliation or to go for divorce. So we're not saying, leave, and that means it. We're saying, come out into safety. And then from there, we can connect you with therapies, with counselors, professional counselors. Your pastor may not be a counselor. And it is not, it doesn't make him weak. It doesn't reduce anointing from him. You know? Yes. So we just believe that, after all, your pastor can refer you to a doctor, to a medical doctor, to a lawyer. That does not reduce him being a pastor. So this is a revolution. This is a movement. And we all are stakeholders and shareholders. So please, I know Reverend Christine Baturay, she was one of the speakers too. She has a home. And there are people like that that have homes. Once you send a mail, and we've handled cases within the last, if someone had to send a message to me that, mommy, please rest, so because of your own mental health, the kind of things they have read, the kind of tears have shared, you know?
Yeah.
And I would just say, okay, come on, leave, don't read now, you know? Just rest. Yeah. So once you send a mail, we have volunteers, we have a WhatsApp group, they will locate where you are, the country, in the world, and we will connect you. Sweden, Germany, Italy, we have them. For some people are offering their homes. So you just come. Once we investigate and we are sure that you are not 419, you are not, you know, I don't know if you understand that, you know, we will investigate and listen to the Holy Spirit, and He will guide us, and we will help you. So please reach out. And then you can follow Pastor Kingsley, his candle at King PSC.
Yes, Kingsley PSC. Yes. Kingsley PSC.
So you can get his books. This man is top notch with his wife, and they live what they preach. So please, and if you want to support us, okay, the website is there. Go to my website, please, and you'll be able to support us. And I want to thank you. The lady that she just walked up to us and said she wanted to tell her story.
Wow.
So it's on YouTube. That story made me cry. And I want to thank those of you that sent money to her. She's been sending messages to me and saying she's never seen this in her life. Thank you so much. It's a community. We are helping each other. There are questions here that we're not able to answer tonight. Like I told you, I'll bring Pastor K back. I said, God, to bring his wife, Pastor Mildred. She too is something else. Yeah, that woman too. Next week, Tuesday, 8 p.m., I'll be hosting Mrs. Jumoke Adenowo. And please don't think we're just talking about abuse. We're talking about different things. We're going to talk about in-law. We're going to talk about success. I'll be bringing people that will tell their stories, some stories of rape, stories of how they recovered and all that. This is the move of God, and we give Him all the glory. I am a Christian, unapologetically a Jesus. So I want to say, please give your hearts to Jesus. He makes all the difference. Till next week, Tuesday, when I come your way again. Once again, on behalf of this community, we want to thank you.
Thank you, Mama. Thank you, Mama.
Beautiful wife and children.
Thank you, Mama.
It's been such a blessing. The Lord thank keep you. Please remember me, in Dubai. If you send a ticket, I will come. Shout out.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a fantastic evening. See you next Tuesday. Bye. Thank you. Thank you.